This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thanks for joining us on the morning run on this Thursday, 19th of September. I'm Julian Ng with Wong Xiaoning and Sharis Abdullah. Now, the US markets ended barely any change. The S&P 500 barely any change, with the Dow Jones and NASDAQ down 0.1% after the US Federal Reserve cut rates for the second time this year.
And meanwhile, in Asia, everywhere it's looking a bit red. All markets fell down, got down marginally. Nikkei 225 closed down 0.2%. Shanghai up by 0.3%. Hang Seng down 0.1%. Kospi up 0.4%. Singapore down 0.5%. And KLCI 0.3% down.
And to get more of what's happening in the market, we have Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy with Oceania and Treasury Department of Mizuho Bank. Good morning, Vishnu. Now, so the Fed has cut rates by another 25 bips. What are your key takeaways from this?
I think the first thing that we want to bear in mind is that the depth of the cut was exactly as expected. But I think what makes this interesting is are two aspects of it. One, there's still a big disparity between what the Fed's dot plot, their projection of rates suggests, and what markets expect. So the Fed expects rates to be on hold from here, but markets expect further easing to come through. So that's the first point. The second point, which is even more intriguing, is that within the Fed, there's a big split of views. So the views are split between those looking to hold and those looking for further easing, and two of them dissenting to today's cuts and wanting to hold instead. So that brings about big questions around where the Fed policy will go further. Jerome Powell seems to suggest that there'll be no more easing, but he left the door open to further easing should conditions turn south. So that makes it for a very, very variable outlook. And so uncertainty could remain in the markets, and we think that the yields will continue to fluctuate quite a bit.
And Vishnu, on Tuesday, the Feds pumped $53.2 billion into the short-term funding market to calm nerves and also regain control over interest rates, which rocketed to about 10% and was forced to repeat this yesterday. This is the first intervention since the financial crisis of 2008. So how did this happen, and are we going to see it occurring more frequently?
I mean, that's a really good question, and to a large extent, the Fed seemed to have answered that to some extent, because what they also did yesterday, apart from cutting rates by 25 basis points, is that they lowered the reserve requirements by 30 basis points to 1.8% further. So the 1.8% reduction, rather than the 2% that should have been tagged to the Fed's window, suggests that they are seeing this tightness in liquidity to persist. So they're freeing up a bit more reserves at the margin. I think the Fed's point of view at this stage is that this is not caused by credit fears in the market, but rather it is caused by technical features of the banking structure and the funding tightness. So I think the Fed will continue to pump in as and when necessary, but to some extent the reduction in the reserve requirements will ease liquidity conditions to some extent.
And Vishnu, what's the impact of rising oil prices after the drone attack on Aramco's production facilities, especially on the net importing oil Asian economies like China, which is already seeing signs of a slowdown?
I think that remains as one of the big question marks. I mean, of course, for now, oil prices have eased back, so that lifts some of the tensions. But like you pointed out, if any geopolitical risks cause oil prices to rise much further, you could see a lot of stresses coming about in the twin deficit net oil importing countries, and this will be reflected as a much weaker currency on the first blush, with some knockoff from GDP as consumption takes a hit from reduced discretionary spending.
And what do you think is the impact on this for Malaysia and also the ringgit as a result of rising oil prices?
For Malaysia, I think it'll be very interesting because on paper, rising oil prices should be very good for the ringgit, as it'll bolster the fiscal account as well as the current account. But if it is caused by geopolitical risks, then the wider risk off could still see the ringgit softer, though relatively on a better footing against other Asian currencies.
Thank you so much for joining us. And that was Vishnu Varathan at Mizuho Bank in Singapore. So this Fed rate cut is quite divisive. The Feds themselves are, there were one or two dissensions over this. But what was interesting was that repo rate the overnight money market rate in the US, which jumped from 2.25% to 10% at one stage, which shows that liquidity is actually quite tight in certain areas of the US market. I think the reason cited for that was that companies had to pay the taxes, as well as there were some recent sales of treasury debt by the US government to sort of deal with a budget deficit. And this, according to some quarters, will result in some degree of quantitative easing restarting again.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we're, the repo rate jumped, right? Because since 2014, when the Fed stopped doing the quantitative easing, there has been much less liquidity in the system. So for the first time, they've had to act. What I think markets don't like is this uncertainty, because it reminds them of the crisis, of the 2008 crisis. When was the last time they had to intervene? People just, because of so many issues here, you've got in rising oil prices, increased geopolitical tensions, global growth slowdown, and then now you have another pickle, which is there going to be enough funding in the short-term money market? And, you know, in, traders don't like it. Fixed income markets get nervous.
And I think it's just, so I think gathering from what Vishnu has said, this is a technical sort of glitch at the same time. And so also we're looking at this happening, the last time was back in 2008. So yeah, that's, I guess, quantitative easing. And at the same time, it's just going to, well, Fed is just going to continue to take action as need be.
I think the Fed always looks at data. They always say that they are data dependent. And looking at some of the data, household spending has been rising at a strong pace. Unemployment is at a 50-year low, but businesses have fixed investment and exports have weakened. So the Fed has to balance with those factors, right? The economy seems strong, and that calls for a sort of a pause in interest rate cuts. Otherwise, you see extreme inflation creeping up. But then you have weaknesses in other sectors as well.
I think economists are also concerned because, yes, on paper, your unemployment is at a 50-year low and household spending is good, consumption is there. But these are also indicators that can almost turn overnight. And businesses, if you are already concerned and you can see the future perhaps not so rosy, you might actually not hire as aggressively as you used to, or you might allow for natural attrition, or you might just suddenly, you know, do a VSS overnight. It's not impossible, which we saw in 2008, because the economy was pretty good at that point. And then the subprime crisis happened, and overnight, jobs were cut. So I think there's always this concern that, hey, it's good times, but for how long?
Yeah, and I think speaking about future, so if we look at what Bloomberg is saying, according to them, they're expecting another 25 basis point cut, and Powell is suggesting that this could be possible. And looking at the current situation as well, it can be addressed and it should be addressed with moderate adjustment to the federal fund rates, taking into consideration what you said earlier, Julian, about the household spending, all the data that's coming out.
And also, there are other things happening across the world that might affect the Fed's decision. Following the news of the massive attack in Saudi Aramco facility last weekend, US President Donald Trump now says that he wants tougher sanctions on Iran.
Yeah, absolutely. So Iran has been the one accused, despite their denial, and I think it all stems down with the drone that they've discovered. Basically, all traces and it's all going back to Iran, even though it's the Houthis that has been coming out front saying that they are the one responsible of this attack.
Now, the big question about the Middle East is: does this mean that there's going to be a war? Right,
yeah.
Because there's a lot of finger pointing going on at the moment. And the faction is clearly Iran on one side, and then practically the rest of the Middle East on the other side, right? At the same time, we have Trump, who has kind of backed down a little bit in his tone. You know, he says he doesn't really want an outright war. But as we get to the next presidential elections, right, you wonder whether he'll take a more warmongering tone. Because so far, that always helps domestic politics. It distracts from the issues on hand in the country.
It's limited to support, though, at the moment. I mean, basically, this is an issue between Iran. I mean, this is an issue that is happening within Saudi Arabia, and they've said that they can take matters into their own hands, basically, in that sense. I think the relationship now is just limited to just support, and hopefully, yeah, it doesn't escalate any further.
But the good thing, I think, is that unlike what we saw in the previous two Gulf Wars, right, you notice the rest of the world is relatively quiet. Right, we haven't had the Europeans say very much. I think they're kind of saying, everybody just calm down. In fact, if anything, the Europeans want a resumption of the Iranian nuclear talks. they weren't happy that that deal was cancelled by the U.S. because to them, it did usher in a new period of peace in the Middle East, which was required.
Yeah, I think watching the Democrats' debate, the third one that's been going on, some of them have said that actually quite a number of them have said that they want to make use of this leverage that US has gained against China. So there is a lot of different views that's going around, dissension to Donald Trump as well as some unlikely support, for what Donald Trump has done with regards to the trade tensions coming from the Democrats themselves. All right, I think this issue will continue to develop. And after this, we'll be coming back with some news on the haze, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.